See, now, I forgot. We were doing the Lam Ching Ying
thing tonight.
Special, yeah. I thought it was a regular podcast. So I was all set to talk about Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Oh, it was on TV a couple of nights.
Yeah. Well, I've seen it before, but I watched it again a couple of nights ago.
I think I chose the King of Comedy over it.
Wait, which what? King of Comedy?
De Niro. That was on BBC Two that night.
Sweet film.
I didn't even know that was on.
It was on later, but I think what by the end of it in the star.
Now, what's his fucking name in that film? Rupert?
Pipkin.
Yes, that's it. He's got the greatest suits in that film. That's my favourite Scorsese film and De Niro film.
Just compare it to all the hard men looks he's had when it comes to that.
My girlfriend talked about when has ever De Niro played a different character? I'm going to call it King of Comedy when I speak to her next time. Watch that film.
See, now, I was all prepared to have a small mini rant about how absolutely shit Dragon the Bruce Lee story is, and how I think, you know, bordering on offensive and certainly embarrassing. And I don't know, it's just shit. Absolute bullshit.
Well, maybe you can do a puff in a few days' time, or you can record it for Stu to edit it in, if you really want to talk about it.
We could always use it as a deleted conversation. All deleted conversations don't need to be about Lamb.
Interesting. Right, have you seen it,
Ken? Put me in the deleted sections, you bastard.
A selected audience will hear you.
Right, you've seen it, haven't you, Stu?
Yeah.
And Ken?
It was a long time I saw it, and I don't think I ever really... I don't remember it, hence not thinking it's good, but I never reacted to it, you know, in like it was insulting. Maybe would do so today.
Well, it starts off with some kind of dance in Hong Kong. They're in a little bit of a kind of ballroom dancing type effort. Mm-hmm. Bruce Lee, obviously, you know, was he a bit of a cha-cha-cha champion? if I remember rightly, in Hong Kong, a bit of a dance champion. So he starts off there. First shot, you're thinking, oh, okay, yeah, a bit about him dancing and that. But Chinese people having a good time when who should come knocking at the door but four Australian sailors. So there, Whitey walks in, all right, get a few drinks, let's harass some of the locals, I'm going to have a touch feel up of this Chinese girl. Turns to his mates and goes, I'm Fred Astaire. I mean, it's already, I'm thinking, here we go. I was surprised they weren't American. But, you know, ignorant Westerners. And then Bruce Lee steps in. He tries to break them up. And the Australian bloke says, get one of your own. Get a woman of your own. And then Bruce Lee says, she is one of my own. And thus ensues Bruce Lee fighting these drunken Australian sailors. Absolute ridiculous fight scene. I mean, just like Hollywood tripe. At one point, he does... I think he just like a front flip or something, lands on the buffet table and picks up a sandwich and takes a bite out of it before carrying on to fight, at which point two blokes grab his shirt and rip it off his chest. So now he's all like half naked and a bit oily.
For the sandwich.
Finishes the fight off and walks off with the girl at the end. And it's just, oh my God, this is so bad. Yeah, it's a Simpsons parody of an action film, except it's not a parody, I'm pretty sure. I was wondering if it was some kind of, like, you know, a send-up, a spoof, but I don't think it is. I think Rob Cohen, who's the director, who's directed Mummy, the third Mummy film, which apparently is a proper turkey, and did Fast and the Furious, which is rubbish. He's got a list of crappy action films. By just making stuff up, I don't get it. It's not like Bruce... You think, I know... Let's make a film about Bruce Lee, right? That'd be fair enough. He's a massive icon worldwide. He's stuck with all kinds of generations in America and in Europe as well as Asia. It's not like he had a boring life. Do you know what I mean? He was a dance champion. He was a martial artist. He's supposed to have numerous street fights. There's all kinds of rumours around. You know, tragic early death, rumours of affairs, film star, all kinds of shit going on. Mm-hmm. But they feel the need to make up absolute bollocks about his life. I mean, the most glaring piece of bollocks is, I think it was it the mid-60s? that Bruce Lee was lift. Oh no, was it mid-60s or was it mid-70s? No, it wouldn't be mid-70s.
It would be early, maybe late-60s.
He was supposed to be lifting. He was lifting weights without warming up, and he had a serious back injury from it. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the film, he meets this weird group of old Chinese men in San Francisco, who inform him that he can't teach kung fu to the Guaylo. They can't know our secrets. There'll be grave repercussions if you carry on teaching them, Bruce. Of course, he carries on, and so then he has to meet in this weird, dark underground cave thing, where they're all sitting around the edge, like high up, watching him, versus some fighter where they have to have an underground fight. And if mm-hmm. Bruce wins, he can carry on teaching them. But he wins the fight in bloody fashion. But of course, those treacherous, evil doers kick him in the back while he's not looking at the end. and that's what injures him.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he end up like in this big contraption at the hospital? I remember a scene, or is that even connected to?
Yeah, I remember him being in a wheelchair.
Yeah, and then that just swiftly moves from absolute bollocks to terrible TV quality melodrama. You can write it. You can write it. You can. I think Linda Lee says something like, "Yeah, you know everything that's wrong with kung fu styles. You can correct them. You can correct this to make the perfect style, Bruce. You can write this book." And he's like, "I can't do it. I can't." Oh, but he writes it. Oh,
and then cuts to a montage. Dun, 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 dun.
Exactly.
Dun, dun.
But it's close up at baby oil muscles tensing. Yeah. And then he stands up.
Writing his book and getting through rehab at the same time.
2 minutes.
Even Rocky had a montage. But it's just so bad. So utterly bad, and I don't understand why, if you've got Bruce Lee's life story, why don't you make a really good, at least attempting some kind of realism biopic of a really interesting man? Rather mm-hmm. than this just one-sided, utterly ridiculous, cartoony bullshit.
And would it be fair to say, Mike, that it's not really Jason Scott Lee's fault?
Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't blame Jason Scott Lee. I think, bearing in mind he's in the turkey of a film, I think he does pretty well in terms of an impression of Bruce Lee.
What I don't remember the film. Do they put forth any theory about any different theory about what killed him? Or do they keep he took a pill or whatever it was and had a reaction to that? Or how did the movie end?
Was it not a thing where he was actually physically fighting his demons?
Yeah, all the way through he's visited by demons that are after him and kind of... Well, that is true, sort of, isn't it? That he was convinced that there were kind of evil forces, or he was cursed, and the curse would
pass on.
Dan and was dad and was onto him, and then he thought it would pass on to Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Was it not a shot where he screams out to him? Yeah, run!
Yeah. Well, the way they've visualized it is him having some kind of weird dream hallucination-y type thing where ancient warriors visit him and look all menacing and shit. I think I might have been just, my head might have melted, my brain was in the process of melting at the absolute rubbish I was watching and with anger.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, I can't actually remember what the ending was.
Well, real Bruce exploitation movies at least have the sense of, to use your phrase, it is bollocks, but it's proper bollocks. Because, if you put Popeye in a Bruce exploitation film, they're not going to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's using the image of Bruce Lee and some of the legend of Bruce Lee to make, a cheap kung fu film.
Indeed.
This is actually about Bruce Lee's life. Which just makes it far worse.
Exactly. Because the way you describe it, it really seems to nowadays approach a quality of a Bruce exploitation film and the content of a Bruce exploitation film, rather than its actual intent, as you say, as a biopic.
Right, the thing is, he's known to have had fights with people on set and with, people challenging him, and I've heard rumours of him fighting on rooftops in Hong Kong and stuff and things like that. So why not document something that probably happened rather than just making up an encounter on the set of Big Boss, which is absolute rubbish and didn't happen?
It's not like there's five different theories out there and the filmmakers conflicted in a conflicted way choose one. It does sound like they just went with whatever the public might like.
They just went hog wild with it and thought, let's just make some shit up and turn Bruce into like a superhero. Rather than actually having him as a real man, which I think would have been infinitely more interesting. I mean, other than that, I quite enjoyed it.
I give it 3 stars.
Yeah, 3.5.
Out of 10. So feel better now?
Yeah, I do actually. I genuinely do. So I was sitting here watching this, kind of like...
I can't wait to puff on Wednesday.
Yeah, getting really annoyed, but not having anybody to talk to about it. I mean, I could have babbled on to my girlfriend, but she wouldn't have cared.
They never do.
Yeah. So at least I can, you know, I've shared something with you. Got something off my chest. What did you think of it, Stu? You're going to say you liked it now, haven't you?
Watching it, I was like, okay. It wasn't cheaply made, they done this, that, and the next thing. And I remember, because I wasn't that clued up on Bruce's history, but I remember the next day reading up, like on IMDb, you have the habit, once you watch the movie, you'd go on them, look up all the trivia, and look up all the goofs. And there's like almost 2 pages of goofs came up, and like, whoa, what? That didn't happen. It's like, I was just wondering, it's like, did they actually ken what they were filming? They got the guy's name, then they ran with
it. It sounded like, okay, we got the cha-cha thing, that's true, but that's too fucking boring, let's spice it up.
they didn't even have him dancing.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Just a caption on screen, Bruce Lee, what a cha-cha champion, but now it's about to fight. And Australians sound funny, and sailors are funny, let's do that.
The thing that annoys me as well, not annoys me, that I find just slightly mind-boggling, is that it's based on Linda Lee's book about Bruce Lee.
Well, based on, rather bought the rights to the book and then went with it, rather.
I mean, possibly.
That's usually how it works, I think. They buy the property and then they have the right to do what they like with it.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, as far as I can tell, the Bruce Lee Foundation, or people ain't close to Bruce Lee, are very careful about kind of, you know, maintaining his reputation and things like that. You know, I'm sure they would have made sure that when they signed the rights over that, you know, it wasn't going to be, I don't know. I'm sure they had control before the deal was made. But I just don't understand it. Blows my mind, and not in a good way.
Maybe there's plans out there, but really, there hasn't been any biopics since then, yeah?
No, I think there's actually a TV series now on its way. I think it's being hyped up in Hong Kong now, and for one of the YouTube trailers I saw, it did show you like him doing the cha-cha stuff. And
That's the one with Danny Chan, yeah? From
I think so, yeah.
Shaolin Soccer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. He just look a whole lot like Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
I'll give him that one.
Isn't like some famous Westerners in that? Gary Daniels, Mark Dacascos?
I believe so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. At least they showed him in the trailer. Maybe there's like one episode out of 40, but still, that's pretty high profile stuff. If you import them to them,
right? I guess we'll.
Ooh, finally, Dragon the Bruce Lee story's out. Exercised.
I was just about to add a little extra, which is I believe Rob Cohen. That there was that story going around of Bruce Lee being resurrected and having like a totally CG version of Bruce Lee.
Oh, is that?
That was going for years, of like bringing him back from the dead to star in a new film by using old footage and stuff. And guess who was behind that idea to do it? Rob Cohen.
Todd.
Exactly.
I thought there was something to do with a Korean director trying some sort of CG thing with Bruce.
Well, there's probably quite a few people, but I read an interview with Rob Cohen saying that the technology was there and they can do a really good version of Bruce, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
I mean, a CGI dragon is okay, especially if it's voiced by Sean Connery. You know, the other movie he did.
Oh.
But a CGI Bruce Lee, I mean, come on. Give the guy a break. You know, if they can clone him, that's another thing. Well, you have a clone.
Oh. Please, no, we're falling back to a couple of episodes ago.
Bruce Lee 1, Bruce Lee 2. but they did do like a computer game a few years ago. I mean, I don't know how good that was, or you know, if it achieved anything, but
don't know anything about it. I just remember some brief footage, and that was it. So much energy in the room.
Speaking of computer games, do you remember, Mike, outside of IK Plus, like Yi-Ha Kung Fu? You remember that game, Yi-Ha Kung Fu, or Yi-Ha Kung Fu? I think it was Yi-Ha Kung Fu or something like that. Do you remember that game?
Not off the top of my head. Maybe if I saw the front cover or something,
might remind me. Yeah, it was just maybe famous because it had like the war cries. War cries. A rather basic game. It was a Commodore 64 game, so obviously not.
I remember there was, I think it was maybe a Sega Mega Drive game of Dragon the Bruce Lee Story. Oh. I remember they had the video game with that out as well. And I think it basically all took place in a gym, and it was Bruce fighting one person after another. So maybe the video game actually had more truth than the movie.
Quite possibly.
Right, so I think we could probably wrap up the show. I do think we could... I think we might actually leave the questions till... I kind of feel bad leaving the questions out, but...
We have sort of answered them, albeit in other podcasts. Especially the ones about why Lam Ching Ying wasn't a big star, or what's the question again?
Yeah.
How he was kind of underrated and how he didn't get the commercial success he rightly deserved.
Well, I seem to remember, well, I ever said this before, or thought it, which is, well, he kind of did, didn't he?
Oh, wait, my house phones just went.
It would seem like five or however many it is Mr. Vampire films would attest to getting commercial success, right? You know, because there wouldn't have been another one made if Mr. Vampire hadn't been a big success.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a commercial success, yeah. Star, you know, star of the film, but a respected star.
Also, I mean... It's not like he had leading man good looks or the kind of, like, you know, things that would appeal to public who make people massive stars, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, having said that about respect that he certainly was, but, you know, not like star status akin to Samuel and Jackie, obviously.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
Hopefully he was content with it. You know, I would like to think so, and he was sort of content with it for a while anyway. I mean, during the last few years he probably didn't care for it as such, but seeing as he always looked or acted out a sort of comfort in that role, the Taoist priest role, I mean, it was not necessarily him on autopilot, because I think whenever he tried something comedic, it was always gold, at least for me.
Yeah.
Because being stoic, being fish out of water, which is a good thing to play with within that character. No, as we might have mentioned before, not knowing how to drink a coffee in a Western way or stuff like that. I think that's always gold.
And the question about eyebrows, I've got no idea how to answer that one anyway.
Yeah, I rarely recognize that. I can only remember that, seeing as the first one I saw was Magic Cop. It was one of those realizations. Wow, cool eyebrows. Let's move on. It's not like, yay, that's a variation of that eyebrow that he had in Magico. But it's all developed.
I was like the eyebrow he chose for Heart of the Dragon. It looks like a particularly angry eyebrow.
Well, that happens when you change the eyebrow slightly. So he doesn't need to do anything with his face. He just can have different eyebrows and you'll do the work for him.
Mm-hmm. Almost had like winged tips. If we go to that level of actually trying to explain brownness.
Maybe someone out there likes this dissection of Lam Ching Ying.
I always think it was one of his more notable things. Like, okay, it was the guy that was always the Taoist priest. And it was always the guy with the funky eyebrows.
The thing that we might touch upon a little is, I believe there are conflicting reports about the Mr. Vampire Western remake.
Mm-hmm.
But I think... Many sources nowadays claim that it wasn't Lam Ching Ying that starred in this aborted production. It was actually Yung Wah.
Yeah.
And they aborted the production and no one has seen whatever they shot. Presumably it's discarded by now.
Was that linked to some kind of rumour that Lam Ching Ying hated Westerners or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. But I think many people now just say that he wasn't in it, number one. And number two, Yung Wah could not speak English very well, so that was a hindrance on set, and because they aimed for it to be an English-speaking English language production. So obviously that made that could have only maybe like 2 or 3 years later that idea popped up, or maybe shortly after. So obviously Mr. Vampire made a splash quite quick. It's not like 10 years passed and it was gradually discovered. It sort of hit home right away.
I always think if they did do the movie, it would probably resemble one of the old Hammer movies. The people that were like, the only reason I could think of them is when they done, I think it was the two mixed ones when it was Legend of the Seven Gold Vampires.
Yeah.
And it had like David Chiang mixed in with Western actors.
Peter Cushing.
Yeah. And then they're saying there was like T Long, another similar.
Shatter.
Mm-hmm.
Or they call me Mr. Shatter.
Somebody sent me an email, well, Green Fan DVD an email, saying, can you release a remastered version of Shatter?
There are remastered versions out there. People buy the German DVD of that film. That's even uncut and subtitled. Because the Anchor Bay print of Shatter is actually apparently cut a little bit.
Well, I hadn't seen it, but I read some reviews that said it wasn't very good anyway.
Yeah, Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires is probably better in that regard. So resembles an old school flick and the Hammer flick, like the distinct things you think of when thinking Hammer and Shaw Brothers conflict of the 70s.
Aye, because it had Laugar Young in it, I think. No, Laugar Wing.
Well, I haven't seen it, so I don't remember, but he directed the action, I think, Laugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe not officially, but...
I think it was played over here, like, a late night on the BBC Two, like, over Christmas, for some reason. Yeah. And I just remembered that, I think I looked, it was someone's filmography, and the title always stood out. And it was actually a decent film. Yeah. David Chiang was quite good at it, and I don't think he was dubbed. I think it was shot in sync sound.
Yeah, well, he speaks good English, because there is a documentary on YouTube that some other English or Australian team shot, and David Chiang speaks perfectly good English. That would have been sufficient for that production, but I don't know what the end result is, because I haven't seen the flick yet. I have it on my pile, but I haven't watched it.
You people and your DVD piles.
I have both versions, because I bought the Warner DVD, which is the remastered one, and the old Anchor Bay DVD, because it has like a butchered version on it as a bonus, a very shortened, incoherent version of the film. So I kind of wanted to have as much as I could.
According to my sources, David Chiang taught himself to speak English, which is very impressive. Another crappy factoid for you. Full of them today.
I like those factoids, especially about Hong Kong people speaking English. I'm kind of fascinated by that kind of subject.
I always remember reading the paper when it was the Japanese director, I think, who'd done the Grudge movies, and when it came to the American remake, he had learned English mainly through watching big movies, and notably the Star Wars one. And when he first spoke with Sarah Michelle Gellar, he was basically using famous quotes from Star Wars movies.
You are my only hope.
I have a bad feeling about this.
So give me a lightsaber when he's asking for like a drink or something. Trying to apply it to the set.
You damn Wookiee.
Addressing Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, no.
What did you call it?